Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of these assembled hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So, of course, the overarching theme of Advent is the coming of Christ. In fact, that's where Advent gets its name, from the Latin word meaning to come. Last week, we looked specifically at how Christ still comes to us even this very day. Just as the king came to his people in humility, riding on a donkey and giving his very body and blood over to death to make atonement for our sins, he still comes to his people in humility, under the forms of bread and wine, giving his very body and blood for us Christians to eat and to drink, that all the benefits of that atoning sacrifice are received by us Christians each Lord's Day. This morning, we'll take a look at another aspect of Christ's coming, that is, his coming again in glory on the last day, his second advent. It is interesting to consider how the world ponders this, whether it be books about some virus that turns everyone into zombies as the end of the world, or a movie about an asteroid making impact with the Earth and completely destroying it. There seems to at least be some kind of acknowledgement that the world can and probably will at some point end. Yet at the same time, the world is prone to scoff at us Christians when we proclaim the truth of God's word concerning that the world will end. Unfortunately, the inconsistencies and hypocrisy don't end there, and so the world continues to wander in all manner of sin and great shame and vice. But that is for another day. It is also unfortunate that we Christians are also in danger of spurning this warning of our Lord. We have a history of this, though, as God's people. Consider the promise of our Lord's first advent. It was first promised in Genesis 3:15 when Adam and Eve fell into sin. It was promised again and again and again and again to our fathers all throughout the Old Testament for 4,000 years. And 4,000 years later, God's people seemingly forgot about it. They forgot that all the rites in the temple, all the shedding of the blood of goats, pointed to the coming of the second person of the Holy Trinity in the flesh to be the one sacrifice for all sins. Thus they despised him and they rejected him. In our text this morning, that fulfillment of that promise concerning the first advent is standing in the flesh in Jerusalem only days before he would sacrifice himself. And he's making the promise of his second advent. That is his coming again to judge both the living and the dead, his coming again to destroy the world with all its infestation of sin, his coming again to bring his people into a new home, a new heavens and a new earth where there will be no sin and every tear will be wiped from our faces. And here we are, 2,000 years later, only half of the time for the fulfillment of the first promise. Are you keeping watch? Are you praying always as your Lord bids you do, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man? Or are you more often like our fathers, the previous generation who stopped watching? Repent. Our Lord is again and again reminding us, and today most specifically with his very words, how foolish it is to stop watching. He is warning us that there is no time left to prepare, and he is admonishing us to always be ready. He says there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heavens will be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Consider first how our apostles, thousands of years ago, handled this teaching, this warning. They had no problem telling their hearers that the last day was upon them. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers, St. Paul to St. Peter. Little children, it is the last hour now. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour, St. John in his first epistle. Behold, the judge is standing at the door, said James in his. They believed that the signs had already been fulfilled. How much more so is that true now? Most of us have seen both the sun and the moon darkened with our very own eyes. Anyone who keeps up on the news about space knows that there are inexplicable things happening with the stars almost every single week. Most of us personally have known someone who feared the things of this earth so much that they not only fainted with fear, but have gone so far as to take their own life because of them. It is well known from our own lifetime that waves have come from the sea and swallowed up entire cities. These and other signs that our Lord has given us elsewhere, such as nation rising against nation, have all been fulfilled. Do not be like the world in regard to them. Do not try to explain them away with the science and technology. Yes, it is true that we can predict when eclipses will be. It is true that we can predict weather that might wipe away an entire city. Do you really think that that then removes the significance that our Lord has attached to those events? Of course not. Consider the rainbow. Has it lost its significance as a sign, as the sign that God appointed it to be, simply because we now can explain how it happens by science and even reproduce the phenomenon on our own when playing with our children in the backyard with water? Of course not. Has it ceased to be what God ordained it to be because filthy worldly sodomites have tried to make it their sign instead of God's sign? Of course not. When you see it, you are to be reminded that God will never again destroy the world by means of a flood. It is a sign of his covenant that he has made with you, his people. So it is now with the signs that the Lord has given us concerning his second advent, his coming again on the last day. For 2,000 years now, the Lord has given us these signs, sign after sign, in the sun, in the moon, in the stars, in the sea, and so on, that the last day truly is at hand. He has constantly reminded us to be ready, and nothing has changed from the very day that he made this promise to today. The only thing that we may say has changed is that we're even closer to it now than when he first spoke the warning that it was at hand. And our Lord tells us not only that it is at hand, but that it will come like a thief in the night. There will not be some glorious countdown for you to watch on the news. You have the warning, you have the signs. The fateful day will dawn. And the world, sleeping in its sin, will live on up to this day as it always has, just as it did in the days of Noah. They will be eating and drinking, marrying and being given into marriage, in building and planting, in laughing, in joking and mocking and slandering. The world will always say to us believers, be still about that last day, about your hell and your judgment. All that was just some made-up thing, some jest, some boogeyman dreamed up by priests in order to frighten the women and the children of the town. see, while they mock, while they eat, while they drink, while they commit adultery and play and blasphemously laugh and joke and waste away the hours, suddenly the heavens will open, and Jesus Christ, clothed with all the garb of a judge, will appear on the clouds of heaven. Thousands upon thousands of angels will surround him with flaming swords, the archangel sounding the trumpet, and as a thousand storms, thunders will crash and sound throughout the entire quivering creation. The dead will rise. The whole creation will tremble and quake. And on that day, the enemies of Christ will feel their waiting damnation in their hearts, and their cries will also fill the heavens and the earth. But for we who heard this warning, who continue to hear it again and again, who have repented of our wicked ways and returned to waiting and watching and praying, the sight of our Savior, full of holy delight, we will sing in a million voiced Alleluia. Yes, dear Christians, this is not a day for you to fear. Though we proclaim the fear of this day to those who have given up the watch, we know that we will escape this terrible judgment of the world. Therefore, ready yourself. Flee quickly in faith to the wounds of Christ, whose blood has atoned for all of your shortcomings, for all of your sin. Flee to those wounds even this very hour. For who knows if I'll even be able to finish the last two sentences of this sermon. Flee to his wounds and remain there, staying awake at all times and praying that you may have the strength to escape these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man who comes to carry you into the joys of the new heavens and the new earth created for you, where there will be joy and peace for eternity. God grant it for the sake of Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.